Welcome to the Everyday Podcast, where we have everyday conversations with everyday people about everyday topics. Well, welcome to the Everyday Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning into this episode. This is a really special episode for me. As I mentioned in the very first episode, where we kind of laid out the vision and kind of made a map for where we wanted to go, I had mentioned that we wanted to bring on some friends that you should meet. And this is the very first episode and the first interview, the first meeting of a friend that I think you should meet. His name is Seth. Seth Garrett. He has become a really good friend. We've actually never met in person, but through what you will hear about our meeting story and how we got connected through a group text about Star Wars. A group text about Star Wars that has kind of transformed into talking about Marvel, because we're big superhero fans as well as Star Wars fans. We are both theology people. We are both Christians who really enjoy talking about some of the more complexities within our faith and what we read in Scripture. So we don't really go into that too deep, which is, you know, if you are listening and you don't necessarily follow the same belief sets that I do, I promise you it's not going to get weird. But we had a lot of fun. So I really hope you enjoy this time that we got to spend together with the first installment of Friends That You Should Know. All right, everybody. Welcome to the Everyday Podcast. We have a special guest on today. His name is Seth the Garrett. Seth, welcome. Glad to have you on here, my friend.
It's good to be here, Jacob.
All right. So so we know that you are Seth. So tell me a little bit, remind me of how we know each other, because this is actually kind of a fun story.
Yeah, we actually have some mutual friends that were really into Star Wars. And
yes.
That's a good way to know people.
Oh my gosh, but, yes.
We have a mutual friend named Tyler, and Tyler and I were always joking. We were like, we need to start just a Star Wars nerd group text. And from there, Jacob and I got to know each other through Mandalorian jokes and memes, and everything just took off from there.
It was great. I remember sitting, so Tyler, who will be on the show at some point, if I can force him on here, we were sitting at the place where I was working, and there was a couple other guys who I also hope to bring on one day. And we said, hey, let's start a group text. Then I guess you and Tyler at the same time were texting, hey, let's get a group text going. So then I remember Tyler one day saying, hey, we're adding in this dude, Seth. Hi. And the rest is literally history.
Providence.
Amen, brother. That's a, we can go on that one for ages and ages, but dude, I'm so glad that we are friends. It's great. It is awesome. I love it. So the other day, side note, before we move on, speaking of Star Wars, cause I mean, Star Wars literally can go on forever. I had someone ask me, do you recognize the sequel trilogy as acceptable? Now, Seth, what do you think?
Not my Star Wars.
All right. Remember, you can send all of your complaints to Seth at SethHasOpinions.com. Not really. That's not right.
Now, there are parts. I have a hot take about this.
Dude, give us your hot take, because this is worth it.
Okay. I mean, it's not long, but I really did enjoy The Force Awakens. And I think where it started to disintegrate for me was The Last Jedi. I held out my opinion until, what was that last one?
Rise of Skywalker.
I held out my opinion until then, and there were just a lot of missed opportunities. So Force Awakens wasn't terrible to me, but after that, I think it just started to disintegrate.
Agreed. Now, if you are listening, you are a fan of Star Wars and you disagree with us, then please let us know so we can bring you on and talk about how you're wrong. Okay. I'm just kidding. All right.
Anyways, all right. So, Seth, what are some of your hobbies or interests? If it makes it easier, you can limit it to like three. We know that. So, Star Wars is a given. That's a presupposition that we will base our lives upon and build this church upon. Never mind. We're not going to build a church upon Star Wars, Church of the Jedi. Okay. So, three other hobbies or interests of yours.
Okay. I haven't counted them out, so I might go under or over.
I don't care. That's fine.
I'd say my longest standing hobby has been music. I started playing guitar when I was 13 years old. Have done that for a long time. I've taught at schools doing it. I've toured the country with different artists, and mainly in church music, which has been a lot of fun. So that's a job / hobby. I'll never get rid of music. And then something I've picked up recently has been golf, and I am trash.
So you mentioned this before we started recording. How do you score yourself? What is your score system?
Yes. So when I went to golf this morning, normally on the scorecard, people will count by their strokes. I do happy faces or sad faces depending on how well I played at the hole.
So how many... what's your happy face to sad face ratio for this morning?
I stopped putting faces because it was just a lot of frowny faces.
Well, you know what, literally the only way to go from here is up, so that's a relief.
It only gets better.
Amen. All right, anything else? Yeah,
last thing. So, well, I live in Atlanta with my wife Esther, and we have a pug named Piper. Piper the pug. She has an Instagram. I don't know the bar handle, but you can find her.
I'll link that in the show notes so that everybody can follow Piper. I have seen her via video, photo, and other digital medium, and I can confirm she is a cutie pie.
She's cute. She's a good one.
Well, and speaking of music, that's one thing that all, like the Star Wars group text, we all play some sort of guitar. Does Zach have does he have an HX Stomp?
Yeah, we're all running those line six pieces.
Yes. Now, if you're a musician listening in or a guitar player in general, you might be familiar with line six. They make great effects. I'm not sponsored by line six. I would really like to be sponsored by line six. That is another episode for another day. But they make really great gear, and that is one common thread in our Star Wars group text, if there wasn't already a common thread there, that we all share, that we all have some sort of gear, musical equipment made by this company. So, cool thing. Dude, love it. Golf, music, Piper. Awesome.
Yes, sir.
All right. So, I've given you these questions beforehand, so hopefully you've come up with a random fact about you that you're willing to share. Ooh. What is it?
Okay. So, story time.
No shame.
Well, I'm a pretty skinny dude. And one time I was playing at this church camp one year. It was a high school church camp. And at the church camp, there was a lake. And it had a blob. It's that little mat that sits on top of the lake with a little tower near it. Someone's lays down on the mat, and then someone jumps off the tower and launches the person. Me weighing what I do, and then the bass player being a firefighter that was in the upper 200s at the time.
Which is pretty stereotypical for a bass player. As a bass player myself, I feel like I have the ability to say this, that, you know, we're not skinny people.
Yeah, well, he was pretty big, much bigger than me, and I hadn't gotten fully onto the mat yet, the mat, and you're supposed to lay down flat, and I was still sitting up, and so he didn't count, he just went straight for it, and my body did this huge whiplash, and I felt my back just completely pop, and I blacked out while I was in the air. People got footage, and I just I went straight up, but didn't move. And my head was down and just landed straight in the water. And,
oh crap.
I get out of the water. So as soon as I hit the water, I wake up and, I get up. My mouth is bleeding. don't know what's going on. And I'm looking at everyone around the lake, and they're like staring at me like, are you okay? And get out of the water. I can't stand up straight. And I found out that I bit a hole through my tongue. And so I don't know why I can't stand straight up at this point, but I know that I've got 4 days left of this church camp. And I'm basically playing like the Hunchback of Notre Dame on stage. And I don't know why I can't stand up. I go to the chiropractor afterwards, and he says, yay, all your ribs are dislocated, bro. And so something, a random fact about me is when I stand up straight, my chest still pops after that accident.
Long story short. Yikes. Okay. That's fun. With that, so that blob, there's two instances that I've been around a blob, and it was both at church camps. I was leading at church camps. The first one was when I was a student pastor. I oversaw our fifth grade and sixth grade ministry at the church where I was at. And all these little scrawny fifth and sixth graders, like probably weighed 80 pounds soaking wet kind of deal. And, you know, I was not 80 pounds soaking wet. I still am not 80 pounds soaking wet. But I got up in the line with my students. They're like, Jacob, come on, come on. So I try to position myself because I just want to, you know, student pastors, we all just want to have fun and goof around until someone gets hurt and then laugh a little bit more. Nobody got hurt. That's Let me just amazing. Give a disclaimer before you start running. So I get behind this kid named Josh, and he was the smallest, scrawniest kid. He might have been like 4'9", like little dude, skinny. Skin and bones.
Skin is a rail. Skin and bones.
Yep. And he, so he had blobbed someone. He thought that a kid who was in this small group was going to bounce him. And then, so he crawls out to the end. And since he's so short, as he's sitting there, he can't look back because the blob is obstructing his view. So I'm like, all right, it's time. So I, you know, we had played, me and the other kids had planned this because, of course, I was a fifth grader mentally at that point. When you work with them, that's what happens. And we all just kind of rearrange. And I get in position, and the kid who is supposed to go starts counting 3, 2. And then as this kid is saying 2, Josh looks back and he sees me because I guess he had repositioned himself. He sees me, and dude, you would have thought that this kid had seen somebody get killed. The look of horror on his face, and there's nothing he could do to stop this. Like, he's just like, all right, here we go. Call my dad, you know? And this kid probably went 10 or 15 feet in the air. It was, you know, it was great. He didn't get hurt. But he had the thrill of his life being blobbed off by his, you know, his spiritual leader who should be taking care of him and, you know, leading him well. The other one, we were at a camp in Texas and we were playing, and the same thing happened where, like, we were watching this instance and there was a very overweight leader blobbing this sixth grader who thought that he was top of the world.
Ooh. Well,
overweight leader
probably was.
Yeah, literally. And I mean, you just hear this smack against the water when he lands. But yeah, we love a good blob story.
We all have blob stories.
Amen. All right. Last question before we dive into the everyday stuff. So what is one accomplishment or milestone that you're proud of? It could be something that you're like, hey, well, you know, I did this really cool thing. You know, I know that you and music probably have some really cool stories. So what is one accomplishment or milestone that you are proud of?
There are a couple things I'm really proud of. One would be getting to travel throughout the United States. Something that I was really excited to do because growing up, I did not get to travel at all, being one of six kids. If you were going to go on vacation, if you were going to go anywhere, it's like, hey, we're going to go to North Georgia, about an hour north. So we didn't really get to do a ton of that. But when I turned 18, started touring and everything, it meant a lot to be able to go to different states, get to meet different people, different cultures, all of that. And since then, I've also been overseas. So that's something that I'm very proud of, but at the same time, want to continue that. That's not something that you just do and then it's done. It's kind of starts this almost like an itch. It's like I'm ready to get back out.
Oh, yeah.
So that's something that I'm very proud of.
Nice. Very cool. Hey,
What about you, Jacob?
Whew, man, I think the coolest thing that I've done, the accomplishment or milestone that I'm proud of, when I was 18 as well. My church that I grew up in was a part of the Southern Baptist Convention, which if you are a church person, you know that that's one, it's a very hot button topic in today's culture, especially the church culture right now, for various reasons that you can do some research on. But back in 2012, it was not as hotly debated. And we had the opportunity, our worship team had the opportunity to go lead worship and lead the music for the Southern Baptist Convention in Nolens. So,
oh, wow, that's cool.
Massive. Yeah, it was a fun one. I was scared out of my mind. I didn't know what I was doing whatsoever, but somehow they put this scrawny little freshman in college kid up there. But yeah, there was like 100,000 people in the building. And one of the guitarists that went with us, I'm not going to name his name just in case he's listening. I don't want him to get mad at me for sharing the story and attaching it to him. He had a sugar rush and a caffeine rush all at the same time and like fainted on stage. And like
the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Cause yeah, Baptists need the Holy Spirit, but that's my big milestone accomplishment. So that's fun.
That's awesome. 100,000. That's that's quite a lot of people.
I didn't know that number until we got home and we got the numbers and I was like, oh, well.
Well, what I'm curious, and I don't know if you feel this way, but I actually would rather play in front of a lot of people rather than a small room because of the I feel like there's a type of tension playing in a small room versus many people. Cause at some point for me, a lot of faces just become a lot more faces and it's distinct.
Oh yeah.
It's not distinguishable. But you have a room of 20 people that you're speaking or playing in front of. And it's like, what?
Yeah.
They are staring at me.
Yep. And like with that, it's like, okay, I'm never going to see them again. But the company where I work, we had a couple weeks ago, we had a battle of the bands and I was more scared and more nervous to do that than get up in front of 100,000 people because of the fact that, you know, we set our guitars down on Friday night and then have to work with them on Monday morning.
Mm.
It's like, oh crap. Looks like this is real. Okay. But yeah.
Lunch with that guy on Monday.
Crap. Yeah, for real. Not you ain't lying. That's good feeling. Bad feeling. Mm. It's a feeling.
It's a feeling. Absolutely. So
yeah.
That's so cool.
It was fun. It was real fun. But all right. So let's get down to business to defeat the Huns. So one of the things that we want to talk about, one of the things that we always say, have said for the past two episodes, and we'll be saying for the next however many episodes you'll let me talk to you. One of the big things that we always say is that we want to have everyday conversations about everyday people or with everyday people about everyday topics. And as I mentioned in the first episode, we go through, we've highlighted some lessons that I've learned, things we'll come up upon some things that we should be doing in the form of habits and disciplines, books you should read, which will be coming up soon. But the one thing that we want to talk about is that habit. So in the spirit of following with everyday topics and having everyday conversations, we want to talk about the one thing that has stuck out in your habitual life. That's a really weird thing to say. So what's one habit or practice that you would consider to be a part of your regular routine. It could be an everyday thing, could be a weekly thing. We've talked a little bit about this and you've kind of hinted at it, but what is that one habit or thing that you would consider to be routine for you?
Absolutely. So I'll get to the why later when we get to the why question. But
yes, absolutely.
My one, I have a couple things, but one that I have, we'll talk about one that I've started to implement within the past year and a half, 2 years, is getting into exercising. Making sure that I'm doing some form of exercise each day, but at least once or twice a day where I'm going a little bit harder than normal. Mm-hmm. That's just something that I have to do. That would be something that even if on my lunch break, which I get an hour, do something for 30 minutes every single day. And then today, me and my buddy, we went out to golf. And we were out for probably 3 hours walking out in the heat. And we didn't do the golf cart. We walked it.
Look at you.
Yeah, these calves. But that's something that I have to do. And I can definitely tell the difference. So, and we can talk about that later.
But. Yeah. So why did you incorporate or decide, hey, I'm going to start exercising, exerting more energy in a specific time? What was the reason behind that?
Well, for me, I've had a long bout, probably since elementary school, with anxiety and depression. And so one feeding into the other, oftentimes if I'm, say, like I deal with depression and it landlocks me and keeps me from doing a lot of different things, then the anxiety comes of, oh, I've got all this stuff behind me that I need to get done and I haven't done any of it. So it can be cyclical, or if it starts from anxiety, getting depressed about anxiety and everything. And so exercise has been one huge way to conquer my mental health and keep my body where it needs to be, because it's a lot harder for me to get into that place when I'm taking care of my body, when I'm doing something that is generating those good, happy chemicals in my brain and everything. So that is something that if I don't do it, everything else just kind of starts to go with it. And so, yeah.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that for other reasons that I've been incorporating. I mean, this morning, like you were out there on the golf course, my wife and I, we went just a couple miles down the road and ran like 7 miles this morning. And it was, I mean, it was kind of close to hell, but, I feel so much better after that. And, you know, those endorphins are huge, especially when, you know, there's a lot of chemical conversations in the medical space that even though, neither of us are medical professionals, we at least understand that,
I'm not paid for my medical.
Yeah, for real. Good Lord. That's neither here nor there. But yeah, endorphins make us happy. Like they level us out. They do good things for our body and we need to produce them. So that's great.
The serotonins.
So where did you learn this habit of getting moving every day? So if it's, you know, you've learned this practice as a an offense and a defense towards some feelings. And how your body responds and to the external circumstances. So where can you trace this habit and learning it from? Where can you trace that back to?
Absolutely. So it was a couple of years ago, my anxiety started to turn into panic attacks. And I don't want to say my anxiety as if like it's a part of who I am or anything like that, but that was what I was going through. And it would get to the point where at night I couldn't sleep because I'd just be anxious at night. Mm. And something that I found out through trial and error was like, I was like, my body will not stop right now for some reason. What is going on? And so I started getting out of bed, trying to just move around, whether it was cleaning my room or something like that. And I was like, I'm a little bit more tired after this. This helped. And that slowly ventured from instead of cleaning my room to maybe trying to go do something like, it was fun to go run outside late at night because it wasn't as hot during the day, which can be a little bit much in Georgia. And so,
man, there's a reason why the devil went down to Georgia. Yeah. It's just like home.
Absolutely. So, yeah, especially if you have a car without AC, don't do that.
Hey. I know that feeling.
Yeah, I started to, no one really told me this until after I started to do it. I started to see the benefit of getting my body going and then seeing the benefit of it later and then finding out that that was actually a thing.
Wow. So you just like, it was really organic how you started this practice. Like it wasn't like you, you know, went in and Googled, hey, how do I, you know, get rid of, yeah, I mean, it could be something as blunt as how do I get rid of panic attacks to like, how do I ease, you know, you just like started, you started trying something to see if it worked.
Well, it's not I wouldn't say it's like a genius thing by any stretch. It was more so like, okay, I'm tired. And so as a kid, if you're tired and can't sleep, something you might do is stay up as late as you can until you can sleep. And then I'm like, well, I have work in the morning. I can't do that anymore. So how do I expedite this process? How do I get tired faster? So it's like, let's make my body go do something.
Yeah. And you said that was about like 3 years ago?
Yeah, probably about two and a half years ago. It's helped a lot, man. So
that's great. Yeah. So how long, so you started this about two and a half, 3 years ago. How long did it take to make that practice feel like second nature, or at least close to second nature? Cause when you start working out just without even the association to, you know, a mental or chemical state, it's pretty tough to get in the rhythm. Like I've been working out pretty regularly for 3 months and I feel like I've just started to get in the groove of things. So how long would you say that it took before it felt like, okay, this is what I do, not just I'm adding this in and trying to cram this in.
Yeah. What do they say? It takes what, 21 days to form a habit, 30 days.
Something like that. Yeah.
With exercise, there's that, threshold of, this is very painful day after your body is just aching and it's not happy. Early on, I would say I'd try it, quit, eventually get back, when my body was just like, you need to do this. And then consistently doing it, getting past that pain threshold where it's just very hard to get to it the next day. Probably took 21 to 30 days to form it into a habit.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And then how do you, so you kind of started this as like a, oh crap, I'm tired. I need to start working towards getting sleepy and being able to calm my mind down. How does that look nowadays? So you know, for example, you just told us that you started, you know, golfing and this morning you did 3 hours, no golf cart. What does a regular implementation of this routine and this habit look like for you nowadays?
Yeah. So the reason why I chose this one for the podcast, the Everyday Podcast, is because it's something every person can do. And so I wouldn't say my fight with anxiety or depression is by any stretch the worst case I've ever heard. It's on things that we deal with every day of work-related tension, relational tension, wanting to do all this. And so every day I get an hour lunch break. I will go to the neighborhood right near work and I will just at least make sure that I am away from the computer. I am walking. If it's a break that I can get later in the day, I'll run more so I won't feel bad if I come back to work sweaty. You know, so you don't want to be miserable while you're at your desk, but choosing to do something during the day, even if you can't make it to the gym, that is an everyday practice that I make sure of and that I believe it's something that's accessible. Because, I mean, within 15 minutes, even if you're just doing a walk, you can get a mile in.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. That's great. So I think we've already touched on this, but why do you think this practice is important for your life? Like I said, I think we kind of touched on it, but just to kind of drive that in and clarify, like, what do you think would be the status and the state of your everyday if you didn't have this? If you didn't walk regularly, exercise, do anything physical?
Absolutely. So it, in a bad world, a what if you will, a Marvel what if.
I'll be still my heart.
Still. If I was not doing this, if I was in the, because I have a desk job, I'm in front of the computer. If I am at the desk all day long, just staring at a computer, and then on my break, I just stay at my desk, but move from the computer to my phone, which is just a smaller computer. I'm actually, by not using my body, losing it. And so it's this weird investment and return of, you wouldn't expect to get energy out of using energy, but you actually are. And so if I'm not doing this, I'm losing my ability to, when I get home, be present with my wife, because all I did was use my brain power at my computer, but somehow still get exhausted. Whereas if I do this, even if I am expending energy, I'm getting home and I somehow am getting energy from spending this energy, and I'm in a great mental health place. I don't know if that makes sense, but there is a return.
Totally. And, you know, I remember hearing a quote recently that, you know, if you work primarily with your mind, which it sounds like, you know, while we're using a computer, we're using our natural computer, our brain, to be able to tell the machine to do whatever we want, which, you know, maybe in 2 or 3 years, we might be saying the other thing as, or the other side of the coin, as technology keeps getting smarter and smarter. But for now, you know, for those of us who work day in and day out in a mentally taxing state, if you work with your mind, then recreate with your hands and exercise. And that's, you know, do something physical. If you're doing something mental day in and day out to that for your day job or the majority of your work, then do something to recreation focused with your hands, whether that be, like you said, working out, mowing the lawn, yard work, you know, physical labor, whatever. And if you do physical labor or work with your hands for your day job, then recreate with your mind. Yeah. You know, flip the script and get that energy transfer on. That's great.
Is it worth it?
Let me work it.
Put my thing down, flip it, and reverse.
You know that Missy Elliott is from my hometown, my home area.
No way.
Yeah, just like, you know, Ursher from Atlanta.
Ursher.
Missy Elliott, she's from the good old 757 with Pharrell and all those, Chad Hugo, N.E.R.D.
Fun fact, when I was in high school, I used to work at Kroger. I don't know if you have that in Tennessee.
Oh, we do.
And one time I was bagging groceries. I was probably 14 at the time. And Missy Elliott went through my grocery line. And then later, my next job was at a Zaxby's. And shout out to Zaxby's.
Hey.
I was working the drive-through window. This is probably when I was 16. And Missy Elliott came through with a nice car. I'm not going to pretend to know what it was, but it was nicer than mine. And wow. I found out she lived, I don't know if she still does, in Marietta, Georgia,
kind of
where I grew up.
Wow. Dang.
She's cool. She cool.
Best friends with her now.
She gets groceries and Zaxby's just like the rest of us.
Hey, she lives an everyday life.
Everyday life.
All right. So let's land this plane, bring it back home. So you have kind of talked about the more personal side of your working out habit, your exercise, exerting physical energy, kind of in, not necessarily in the vacuum in the specific sphere of your mental health. But how do you think that this practice of exercising and getting moving has helped you grow in other personal areas beyond just your mental space?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say my memory. I am currently in school for a bachelor in theology. And something that I've always struggled with is being able to retain what I read. And that is a degree that is very heavy in literature, writing notes,
yep,
all of that stuff. You know, Jacob.
Yep. That's what my degree is.
Yeah. And so, like what you were saying earlier, flipping the script, doing something that is the opposite of what you're doing usually all day, which for me, if I'm sitting reading on the computer all day doing exercise, it actually allows me to be more present at work or when I'm reading. So I feel like my memory has gotten better. I feel like I've been able to retain things a little bit better, because nothing like reading 15 pages and then finding out you didn't retain anything you just read.
The worst. Now, so how do you think that, so this is more personally, I know you did talk about, you know, work-wise, but how do you think this has helped you in your work world? So first of all, what do you do to bring home, to pay the bills?
To bring that money. So I work for the county that I'm in the property tax department. So my goal is to try and help people make sure they save money on their property taxes by filing for exemptions and all sorts of stuff. And then I have to do research on people that are claiming exemptions but did not qualify. So
you're the tax man.
I'm a tax man. I'm a tax collector.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. That's funny.
Yeah.
So how do you think that you working out, whether it be on your lunch break or outside of work, has helped you grow either in position at work or at, you know, at least in the interpersonal side of things at work?
Absolutely. So, I mean, it would be holistic in that, or that's probably not the best word. It would impact everything in that when you're doing things that enhance your self-confidence. Self-confidence is an element that impacts the rest of your life. It goes into everything. Your relationships, your work, how you feel about yourself, your self-esteem. And so when you are feeling good about yourself, and exercise has a big way of increasing your self-confidence. When you're going into work with those good vibes, those chemicals are running, your interactions with the people you work with, your coworkers, the customers, your bosses, it can't help but help, because people are going to look at you and they're going to say, that guy's happy. That guy is very present in the conversation. He is on top of things. And so it's not that exercise makes me better at my job. It's that the benefits of exercise are helping me with my job, I think.
Yeah. No, that's great. I totally agree with that. And I've, you know, I can testify to that personally, because I spent the first 6 months at my current role, not exercising, not getting any physical anything done. I would, you know, sit at a desk, wouldn't want to stand because we have standing desks at work, do any of that. And then when I started working out, I definitely saw a mood increase, a confidence boost. I saw it all. So no, you're 100% right on that. And I love that. So if you are talking to someone who is in the position that either you were in 2 to 3 years ago, or someone who might be, you know, in the position I was in 6 months ago, where they're like, all right, I'm stuck in a rut. I'm just, you know, punching a clock, mailing it in, doing those things, you know, in a more holistic sense. How would you recommend others, the person that you're talking to who was in the positions that we were in, how would you recommend they add this into their daily lives? What steps do you think that they should take in order to ramp up to full being there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So application of what I stepped into would be, start off with something attainable. Don't say, okay, I've never exercised before and I am going to go run an Ironman next week. Let's go. That would not be a good idea. So, and then you just end up with disappointment, and that's discouraging, and no one wants to be discouraged. So if you are stepping into something new and say you're wanting to attain something like this, which is very attainable, say to yourself, I'm going to go walk my neighborhood. If you work from home, or if you say you're a stay-at-home mother or father, or just anything, you've got some space outside at work, I'm going to go walk around for 15 minutes. And then maybe that 15 minutes turns into 30 minutes, and then an hour. It's that, was it Couch to Marathon app or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
It's that principle of starting with something simple and then rolling with it, you know?
Yeah. So is there, do you think in that, when you first started working out, do you think that there was a point where you were like, all right, I have in this, I guess we'll call it workout moment, where it was like, all right, I've made progress. Who may not have, you know, started working out and they're going to take that first step, you know, time-wise, distance-wise, feeling-wise, what would you say is that like, all right, you, this is what I would recommend you hit, whether it be, you know, do it, like you said, 15 minutes or hit a mile or, you know, a specific feeling.
Yes. So for me, it's a gradual stepping stone. I couldn't say there was a specific day. I don't look like Dwayne The Rock Johnson or anything like that, where it's like this scrawny guy talking about exercise benefits. Like, I'm not that guy. But but my moment that I gradually got to was seeing less episodes of anxiety, seeing the fog of depression getting lifted and everything, and being able to go through my day in a space that was better, where I could be present with my wife, where I could be present with my pug and my family. And
the pug. You got to be present for the fur babies.
Got to. So for me, that indicator that I was seeing results was, because my goal isn't necessarily like to be a bodybuilder. And later on, you'll have someone that probably can talk to that side of exercise. My goal was just to be healthier. My goal was to step into just something better than I had. And being able to step over anxiety and depression and everything, that was huge for me.
Mm, love it. That's great.
Step over was not a intended pun, but it worked.
Hey, love it. So is there any, before we close things out, is there anything else that you want to add? Whether it be, I mean, literally anything. I mean, if something comes to your mind, anything that you want to add before we step away and finish this every day?
Last thing is, you don't have to do it by yourself. Whatever you're trying to implement within your life, if you need personal accountability, you need it's fun to walk with friends, it's fun to do things like this with other people. And so if you're the type of person that it's really hard for me to get started by myself, see if there's a coworker, see if someone wants to join you, get a group going. But you don't have to do it by yourself, if that helps.
Nice. That's awesome. That's a good point too, because, you know, especially if you have someone spurring you on, as Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so sharpens another.
Amen.
Love it. Cool. Well, Seth, thanks so much for being a part of, the Everyday Podcast. You are the first guest that we have had, on here, first friend that I get to introduce to our other friends. So thanks so much for joining, and really appreciate
it. It's an honor, man. Dude, this is exciting. I'm so excited.
I know. You might, who knows, maybe we'll have you on another time. And I really, this is just a little vision casting, friends. Whether you like superheroes or Star Wars, sci-fi movies, whatever, there probably will be an episode where the individuals that we mentioned in that group text will get together, especially. So when does Book of Boba Fett come out? Do you remember?
I'm Googling it right now. I'm pretty sure it's at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's like Christmas time.
Book of Boba Fett. Okay, it's coming up. It says December 29th, so literally the end of the year.
Well, if you're listening, and if you keep listening to this podcast, you might get a beginning of 2022 episode talking about Star Wars. So we'll give a disclaimer at the beginning of the episode so you can either dip out or strap in. So cool. All right, Seth, that's all we've got today. Thanks so much for joining us. And as always, your every day matters.
Thanks for listening to the Everyday Podcast. Don't miss out on new episodes dropping every Monday. Hit the follow or subscribe button in your preferred podcast player to keep up to date. For resources and additional info mentioned in this episode, head to the show notes to learn more. While you're there, you'll find links to our social media outlets you can follow to stay connected between episodes. Remember, your every day matters.